Good morning. You're listening to Coast Community Radio. I'm Ann Goldine, and today we're going to talk about landscaping. My guest is Chris Salisbury. He is the landscape instructor at Tongue Point Job Corps. And good morning, Chris.
Good morning.
Okay, so let's see. Let's start talking about what do you do?
In the program?
Yes.
Well, the program is set up for 16 to 24-year-old students that in looking for some vocational training. And what I do is I'm trying to get people prepared for working in the green industry, nursery industry, landscape industry, and get them kind of on the train to trade to understand how it's going to work.
Okay, so these kids have to pick. Or do they rotate into the different fields?
Well, no. They come in and they basically have a they make a kind of a quick choice within the first 4 weeks that they're there. Some have an idea already of what they want to do when they show up to Job Corps. We have 16 different trades, and sometimes some have no idea and they're just sort of fishing when they show up.
Okay, and so. There are probably a lot of different places that they could go when they're done for careers. Like, give some options of what they might do when they're done.
Well, you know, a lot of them come, they come from different, you know, Oregon, Washington, Idaho. I even have a student from Alaska right now. And depending on whether they want to go back to where they came from, a little bit more difficult in the rural communities to find work doing what we do. But if they're willing to, you know, willing to go and find the work, then they're looking at working in the landscape industry, doing the maintenance construction side. Some are more interested in plants and working in a nursery type environment, retail or wholesale. And we help get them prepared to go and do any of those things.
Mm-hmm. Now, so I know that some of it has involved they have to take some pretty rigorous tests.
Right, the certification tests are for their certified landscape technician or certified horticultural technician. They also try to get their commercial pesticide applicator's license while they're with us, which is a real difficult test, too. And it really makes them highly employable.
Mm. And so there really are jobs in these fields. It's not just pie in the sky.
Without a doubt, yeah, there's a lot. And, you know, from my perspective, it's I'd love to see people, young people that are really engaged and you can show that you are engaged in the industry and not just looking for a job. And that's largely what we're trying to get them to understand, that you're going to have something to show to an employer that you really like this industry. You're interested in their industry. And so they want to, you know, it's hard to ignore that applicant that's already has some of these things to prove that they're interested mm-hmm. in the industry and not just looking for a job.
So do they get a portfolio then of projects that they've worked on, you know, to go to an employer and say, look, I've installed this drip irrigation system and I've done this whatever, I've built this stuff and I've done this and look, this is what I've done.
That is. It's kind of something I suggest from them right from the get-go that, you know, with the digital age and all the cameras and the phone cameras and everything, they start to build their own mm-hmm. their own picture portfolio of the things that they've done or like things that they've done.
Mm-hmm. That's a great idea. Yeah. Okay, so one of the things that you guys do as a project is you donate a day of your labor or more to the Clatsop County Master Gardener Spring Garden Seminar, where people buy raffle tickets. How long has that been going on?
How long has that been going on? I think it's 4 years that we've been doing that.
Oh, it's only 4 years?
I think it's only 4 years that we've been doing that. I could be wrong. We really like working with the Master Gardeners, and I really like how this particular day of service is really set up so that it's a raffle. And for $5, anybody can buy a ticket or a few tickets or whatever. And it's not the auction type setup to the highest bidder where, you know, I feel like everybody has the availability to win, which mm-hmm. makes it more fun.
Right, right. Well, okay, this year the Spring Garden Seminar is on Saturday, April 12th, and it's all day. And there's something new about it this year. It's free. So there's no admission. So that's not a barrier for people to come. And hopefully it'll be rainy like today and not gorgeous, so people will be conflicted about going. And there are a number of speakers, and there are a whole bunch of raffles. people are spending, you know, they spend half the year collecting stuff for raffles, and there's a plant sale, and then there's the big raffle. This is what we call the big raffle. This is what everybody wants. Okay, and I am empowered. The committee that is doing this has empowered me to today offer two people who call the radio station can get one free raffle ticket today while you're here. So if you call 503-325-0010, we'll put your name on a raffle ticket, and it'll get entered into the drawing. And so anytime between now and I think it's like 3 o'clock, right, on Saturday, April 12th, you can buy tickets. And I have them at my office. Any master gardener that's involved has them, and you can get them. Or you can get them at the office. Looks like the phone's ringing. That's good. People want tickets. But remember, we're only giving away two. And if you want more, you can buy them in books of five. Now, I won it last year, and I bought five tickets. That's all I bought. Now, I've seen people buy a lot more than that. Mm-hmm. Okay, so let's talk about what people can get for this. What does this entail?
Well, when we set this up, I think 4 years ago, if I remember right, that I had around 20 students then, and we set it up as that many hours of labor for a day's worth of work. And I still want to hold to that, even though right now I only have 13 students. So we're pretty flexible with us making sure that we can get the right amount of work done for somebody. But we also, I have a lot of equipment. I've got, you know, a skid steer loader and an excavator, and I've got a tractor with lots of implements. We've got all kinds of hand-powered or small powered equipment. We can get a lot of things done in a short amount of time for folks. And so it's not only the manpower, it's some equipment as well. So.
And that certainly played out in my yard. And we were able to clean up an area that was just so overgrown, such a mess, in a short amount of time with that big, was that the excavator?
Yeah,
it was like this big thing in my yard.
It's a mini excavator, but
really?
looks big to you.
Oh, yeah. Okay. Well, you know, right. I live in town, yeah. So... I'm going to get, I have photographs. I did some before and after photographs, and I'm going to get those on the website at coastradio.org in my section for today. So people can see some before and after in my yard. When you go to someone's house who's won this, how do you approach the whole process?
Well, I typically like to take a couple of my more senior students, and we'll go and meet with the client. I mean, whoever the winner is a client, and try to treat it like it's sort of a business proposition, and talk with them, and, you know, ask some questions, see what the scope of the work is that they want to get done, what's going to be reasonable. You know, if sometimes
of the things I wanted was definitely not reasonable. It was too much.
Yeah. And so, you know, we got to keep it within the scope of, you know, a good day or so, maybe a little bit more worth of work, and make sure that then we can get kind of priority list of things that the client wants done, and make it reasonable. So we know we can get something done for you and not leave things too open-ended.
All right. Well, Paula and Carol won the tickets. And so, I'm not exactly sure. I guess we'll put them in envelopes and they'll be here and they can pick them up. Let's take a break. When we come back, we'll talk more. If you want to join in the conversation and you have a question about anything, give us a call, 503-325-0010. You're listening to Coast Community Radio in Astoria and Tillamook, 91.9 and 89.5. We'll be right back.
Spins around and goes nowhere. I feel like I have just been marking time, wobbling side to side, creaking to and fro. The hours pass while I feel nailed down. We media spins around and shows me pictures. Pictures of the choices never made. Chances never taken, or at least not followed through. Fear has kept me frozen to the ground. 10 miles as the crow flies if you know where to go. Takes more time with your feet upon the ground. 10 miles as the crow flies is fine if you're a crow. As for me, I'll take the long way round. Wheel spins around and makes my head hurt, while I wonder at the wreckage at my feet.
My guest is Chris Salisbury. He is the Tongue Point Job Corps landscape instructor, and we're talking about what they do. Okay, so when you came to my house, you came with 2 or 3 students, mm-hmm. and I had made up a list of all the possible projects that I had thought of, and I think I had like 13.
Uh-huh.
And so we went through the process of breaking it down to what was possible, what was not possible, and also what was totally unformed in my mind, what I didn't even know what I wanted.
Mm-hmm.
In fact, I didn't know what I wanted a lot. You really helped focus.
Well, we want to make sure that we could prioritize what's most important for you. You know,
okay.
give it a 1, 2, 3, or, you know, make sure that we can finish a punch list that we say that we can do. So some things are certainly off the table, and, you know, there was a few things that were off the table. We knew we couldn't get done.
Right. So there's either the scope of the, it's too big, there's too many hours, or it's a too complex of a project.
Right.
Okay. But everybody who lives anywhere, except maybe an apartment or a condo, has need of something.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, there's nobody whose yard is absolutely perfect. Well, there may be a few, but I mean, at the very least, somebody could always use help with weeding and moving some plants or something. But in my case, you guys built me this 40-foot wall. Is that what you call it? It's
a
wall?
Retaining wall.
A retaining wall all the way along the west side and wrapping around the south side of my house. And it's now, I mean, now when you drive by there, instead of the mess, it's just this beautiful finished look. There aren't many plants. Now there's bark.
And it kind of alleviated some of the problems that you were having with the rain washing down and running off the hill too quickly in some of your soil as well, to get things a little more on a level surface, yeah.
Right, and now it's beautiful, and now we're thinking, we need to do a similar thing in the back, where there's that big, steep hill, and it's impossible to deal with.
You buying more tickets this year?
Yeah. Well, of course I'm buying more tickets this year, although I think it would be bad form to win 2 years in a row. That's happened, and that gave people a very bad taste. They thought it must be rigged.
Did they change the rules?
No.
Oh, okay.
They just told him he couldn't buy tickets last year so that I could win. But, you had said that there was a limit on tickets, and I don't know if there's I'm sure they only print a certain number.
Yeah,
but,
I think they had done 300 tickets in the past couple of years, I think is what they did. And I'm not sure what they had planned on doing. So,
Well, I know that they've sold out, so maybe that's not enough tickets. Maybe they'll print more. But I don't know about that. What are you guys working on right now?
Well, what we're doing right now is actually we started talking about that this morning is to actually get in motion what we're doing for our setup for the Master Gardener. And the Master Gardener display that we do has kind of evolved into us trying to create some things in the last couple of years that have been basically of all recycled material. And some interesting things, and that are worthy of people thinking that they would like to take them home and have them in their yard or garden.
And also, it shows that people could actually, with very little expense, build something really unique and beautiful.
Right.
Last year, you used pallets to make upright planters.
Vertical, yeah.
Beautiful.
Vertical planters, yeah.
With all kinds of vegetables growing and herbs growing. It was gorgeous. And then, but there were other things. Sinks, so like a garden sink.
There was a potting benches that we made out of all recycled things. We'd been sort of gleaning things from the wood recycle bin that we have out there that we use a lot, and also some metal stuff. So we're going to do similar things this year.
Nice.
And try not to keep it looking exactly the same. And every year it gets a little more difficult to try to
top the last one.
But
right.
We'll do the best we can.
So it's a display, but it's also, it'll be purchasable, or
right.
parts of it,
right.
not as one piece, but you don't buy the whole thing.
Right.
Well, I suppose one could.
Individual things that it was basically an ongoing auction or silent auction, I guess, that was happening the entire day until the end of the day. So if somebody really wanted one particular piece, then
they better hang.
They got to make sure they hang around and make sure that their price is the top price.
So it was
pretty. It's a great project for us. It's nice construction stuff, and again, it's virtually. I've got to buy a few products for it, but
like some plants and maybe
we'll do some plants and some screws and some potting soil. I mean, there's a few construction materials that we've got to buy, but basically the materials are repurposed or recycled. So
nice. And the money that's raised for that, where does that go?
To you guys.
Oh, to the Master Gardeners.
Yeah, everything, every bit of what we did from the day of service and everything that everything we sold out there last year was to the Master Gardener. And then where does that go?
Well, it goes back in the community.
Right. I know it's some of its scholarships that
you guys threw. Oh, right, right. Every year there's, depending on how many people apply, high school seniors can apply for Master Gardener scholarship if they're interested in horticulture, landscape. It's pretty broad agriculture.
Right.
Yeah,
right.
One of those fields they can get that scholarship, but also it pays for bringing speakers here to give classes.
Mm-hmm.
And I suppose if we have to buy things, one of the projects that we do is we do the demo garden at the Clatsop County Fairground, and sometimes there are projects there that we have to pay for, like when we built the gazebo. I think that was a couple $1,000, so we had to come up with the money for that.
Right. But we enjoy doing it, and we're happy that there's some decent dollars that go, from us into the community, and from you guys back to the community. So it feels real good.
Well, it's a great project. I knew I was going to win last year, which is a weird thing, but as I was in the spring, way before the day, I was sitting in my hillside weeding. And I was thinking about what I was going to have you do when you came. Now, I really didn't know what it was going to be, but I was thinking, maybe somebody could do what I'm doing here, sitting here in the mud, weeding out all this grass. And it happened. I mean, it was like locusts came into my yard, and every weed disappeared everywhere, and beautiful things happened, and that whole upper yard was transformed.
Selective locusts.
Totally right. Selective, right. Yeah, and now all my irises are not all over the place in environments underneath roadies where they hate it. They're all in their own place, and they're all growing, and daffodils are blooming, crocuses are blooming. What else is blooming? Snowdrops, hellebores, all kinds of things. And irises are all up, so they didn't die.
That is a nice thing, because most everybody has these peripheral things where I can send 2-3 students at a time if we don't, they're not working on one big project. There's never a shortage of things to do in other folks' yard. And, maybe that's even sometimes what my students and I will point out to some of our clients is, well, maybe we could do this for you while we got some spare time, when we don't need 10 hands all in one hole over here. So,
right. Oh, definitely. Well, there were people all over the yard. There was the whole crew in the upper yard who were doing mostly weeding and moving things and cleaning up edges and all that. And then there were the people building the wall. I mean, you can't have 15 people on the wall at
exactly.
once. They were doing all that leveling, which I wish I'd paid better attention to what happened there. Because I think it's unlikely that you're going to get to do the other wall. Which means I have to figure out how to do that. I bet there's a book on how to do that.
There's a lot. You can go online. I use a lot of instruction stuff from that I get online that are great. They're put together by a lot of the manufacturers of these products. So
great.
You can find them.
Oh, that's good. All right. Well, that's a good thing. So if people want to do this spring, they want to do a project, but they don't want to wait for this or the possibility that they're not going to win it. You know, you could buy tickets, but you could still lose. Do you hire a landscape architect, a landscape technician? How do you go about picking someone to hire to do, you know, to help you with redesign your yard or redesign an area?
Well, you could, if you have, of course, we're in a hilly area. If you know, landscape architect is somebody that actually has to engineer things for you, versus a landscape designer is somebody who's able to help you look around and redesign without doing any large retaining walls, nothing more than four feet tall, any large structures that have to be engineered. So that's the difference between an engineer and a designer.
If we were going to change that whole hilly thing in the back, we'd probably need an engineer to help us with that.
So a landscape architect basically has an engineer background that's going to do that. And that's the same thing that a contractor, if you hired a landscape contractor, at some point a contractor then has to enlist the help of an engineer if they're really changing the earth an awful lot. If you're having to build large structures that have to be built to engineering specifications, a contractor often doesn't have those credentials either. So it depends on the scope that you're having to do.
Okay, and then there's all the way to just someone to mow your lawn or weed.
Or a garden coach. If you're a DIYer that you'd like... a garden coach is basically someone who's going to help you not waste money, have some good ideas. They've been down that road before, can give you a little bit of help and some help with decisions of planting materials or how to change the aesthetics of things a little bit and, and coach somebody along.
And along those veins, in 2 weeks we have our big spring pledge drive here. And one of the things that the Master Gardeners always offer is an hour with a Master Gardener. And that will be available. And that's sort of at that level of someone who knows something, who's not a licensed person, but can give you some advice about what you might do differently or the same. Okay, so one of the things that I wanted to ask is when somebody's looking at their yard and they want to do something, but they don't know what to do, what's the best place to start? Like, I hate this corner, but I don't know what I love. You know, what will work there? Okay, it's steep and it's whatever, right? I've got this one corner and I don't know what to do with it.
You know, if you really get stuck and, you need to, if you feel like you really want to have a designer come and help you get some things, into your mind, I mean, really the best thing to do is to go around and look at like sort of properties. I mean, you go around and look at, okay, here's a lot with some elevation change and here's some things that they've done. And I like what they've done. I like how they changed the elevation. They've cut and filled. They've made some raised beds. That's the easiest thing is to walk around and look in it. Look what other people have done and say, oh, well, that's great. I like that a lot. Or, boy, that doesn't do anything for me. And start to form those ideas yourself. Or you can pay somebody to help you kind of get that ball rolling as well, whether it's a contractor or a designer. Either one of those things would be good ways to do that. If you're just not one that can really make up that mind or get that ball rolling for yourself very well.
Well, I like the idea of blending those. Use professionals and do some, cruising around and seeing what other people are doing that you like.
Right.
My guest is Chris Salisbury. He is the Tongue Point Job Corps landscape instructor. I'm Ann Goldine. Talk to you in a week. Have a great one.